listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Everybody dealing, I hope, generously through this coronavirus, COVID-19. Scary time in our world, but we're glad you're listening to ABQ Connect, and we want to try to offer some degree of encouragement, if that is okay to say right now. We believe the Holy Spirit is present, and as we read the Word, we're going to be encouraged in our hearts about what's going on, and we have a lot of leadership in each one of our churches. Almost every church that I have spoken with has a website. They have automatic streaming things going on. They're offering men's and women's Bible studies. There's always the good old phone calls that we can make to one another. I know it's interesting to text people and do all of those kinds of technology things, but it's another thing to just get on the phone and have interpersonal conversations with people. Wanted to restate something that you've heard Skip Heitzig and Lenya Heitzig talk about from Calvary Albuquerque. Calvary Church is engaged now in what they're calling the kindness campaign. The coronavirus pandemic is affecting everyone, and in the midst of the fear, the calls for social distancing, the anger, bitterness, and meanness the world is exhibiting right now, we need a little bit of kindness in the midst of all of this chaos. We believe that Calvary Church is called to help calm everybody. We are called to spread kindness. It's really no different than what God has called the church to do in the past. We just feel extra blessed to be able to respond to this call at this time in this community in Albuquerque. So we are excited to roll out a new initiative starting immediately called the Kindness Campaign. This includes three things initially and possibly more as we move forward. Number one, we're picking up the phone. Our staff is making personal phone calls to everyone in our congregation that we have on our database. If you haven't received a call and you want to let us know that you'd like to receive a call or you'd like to speak to somebody, please feel free to do that. The phone number at Calvary Church is 505-344-0880. We're trying to call everyone to see how we can pray for people and meet any needs that they have, especially if they're in a high-risk population. So when we talk about needs, we're talking about everything from toilet paper to companionship to prayer and you name it. We want to be available. In light of that, we're collecting, number two, we're collecting practical items to meet these real needs that we identify by talking to people. Please consider dropping off paper goods like toilet paper, paper towels, hygiene items like soap, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and feminine products, baby items like formula, diapers and wipes, over-the-counter medicine like acetaminophen, ibuprofen, cough and cold remedies, and non-perishable food at our Osuna, Westside, and Santa Fe campuses. You don't even need to come inside. We have collection bins and staff receiving donations Monday through Friday in the parking lots. Number three is part of the kindness campaign. We're delivering items to people that need them the most. Our front desk is taking phone calls from people in our community who are at risk and need assistance. If you know somebody that needs assistance, please give us a call again at 505-344-0880. As we learn about people's needs, we're matching them up with the practical items we're collecting and sending Calvary Church staff out to make deliveries. This is an extremely tough time to be a believer and to be truly in the church. The power of the pandemic is nothing compared to the power of God. We all need to remind ourselves of that. Will you pray that God will use us, His church, in a mighty way that brings glory to His great name as we spread kindness in the midst of chaos? Hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Lots more this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Okay, Grandpa and Stella, let's go over our list. We've got to make sure we're ready to open our downtown Monroe's at 4th and Mountain. Are we serving the same great Monroe's food?
Same menu, same recipe, same cooks, new kitchen.
Check. Ready to give the same great service to our customers?
Same waitstaff, new dining room.
Check. Same great Monroe's atmosphere?
Of course. Same friends and family and air conditioning.
Check. We're ready. Monroe's on Osuna. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
How do you deal with sin? The first step is facing facts. Skip Heitzig gets real about sin in this hotspot.
The Bible talks about confessing your sin, right? If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So admit your sin. Take responsibility for it. Own it. Don't blame shift.
After we admit our sin, we must leave it.
Leave it. That's repentance. Turn from it. Make a clean break from it. When I was a kid growing up in the Catholic Church, I sinned all week long because I could go to confession at the end of the week.
Get more teachings from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Now, admit it, then leave it. By God's grace and God's power, make a clean break, go in the opposite direction.
Follow the Connect with Skip Heitzig podcast on Spotify. And now,
replace it. The book of Romans talks all about that. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Develop new activities, new habits, new disciplines.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
When Christ's earthly ministry was over, He gathered His disciples together and He commissioned them. And by extension, every generation was commissioned with the same thing. We're to be serious about propagating the gospel. The central verb in that passage, it's straightforward. It's noticeably uncomplicated. It's just simply to make disciples. Now, the three words that surround it remind us of the phases of that. We're to be baptizing them, which means we've got to reach them with the gospel. We've got to then teach them to observe everything that Christ commanded. And then we've got to get out there and do what the disciples did. They went out to make these disciples. So Christ gave us a clear directive, a promise to be with us until the work is done. So let's get out there today and start working to get that job done.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. And listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
With the extra time we're all spending at home, most of us are familiar with the AMC series Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and we are joined this afternoon by Jeremiah Bitsu. He is a Native American actor best known for portraying a bad guy on these series, Victor. Jeremiah, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Hello, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to start right off the bat by saying, you know, how is your family doing among this health crisis? You doing okay?
Yeah, I think we heard about it pretty early along, and so we made it a point to just kind of take the extra precaution and just spend a little bit more time in.
Jeremiah, you have a big connection to New Mexico. Tell us where you're from and how you ended up on this television series.
Okay. Originally, I'm from Arizona, Navajo Nation, and grew up there and lived there until I was about nine or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And then lived in Albuquerque until I was about 18 years old. And then I moved out to California and been in and out of California for the last, up until most of my adult life, until about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we started filming Better Call Saul, and so Better Call Saul and family is what brought me back to New Mexico.
And I hope you're enjoying that. And does your family live in Albuquerque now?
Yeah, currently I'm living here in Albuquerque.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, you're not only an actor and very well known for playing a bad guy, but you're also a husband and I understand a fairly recent father as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah, and I got into business when I was 19 years old and I've been an active entrepreneur now for 20 years. It goes by fast.
Now, tell me what you do as an entrepreneur.
I have a construction company that's about 12 years old, and and we do commercial buildings, permanent and portable modular construction. We've done some rural road development and stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just look at technologies and how technologies can improve either issues or situations. Like right now, currently we're trying to provide a few solutions for the COVID, you know, response around the country, needing facilities. And so we're trying to do what we can to help on our side.
Wow.
And then finance for about 5 years. And then I was in consulting when I first started in business.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And then when did you enter acting? Was acting something that you always dreamed of doing?
Yeah, I guess I was about 5 years old when I got my first role in a film called Mickey's House, and the Japanese kids film. And then when I was 13, I became SAG on a film called Natural Born Killers. And then, you know, finished high school, went to college. The focus then was really, I was interested in writing and directing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a good base there in terms of my understanding on that side. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. Acting is what came to me just kind of, naturally, I guess, you know, so to speak. I know it's tough to get into, but a lot of the ways that the doors opened were really just serendipitous.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say right up front, Jeremiah, that I am a fan of your acting. You know, a lot of people don't know. I watched all of the Breaking Bad series. I've watched it a couple times. It's just very intriguing to see a guy like Walter White end up Breaking Bad. I mean, the whole show was just crazy and the writing was amazing. And, you know, you're too young to remember this, but growing up, I used to watch cartoons like Rocky and Bullwinkle, and there was a guy called the Fearless Leader that was always at odds with Dudley Do-Right. And, of course, you remember the Joker in Batman, of course, Walter White in Breaking Bad, and Darth Vader in Star Wars. I am the kind of person I always wanted to be the bad guy, and you are the bad guy. Tell us, is it fun playing a bad guy in Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting in many ways because just the background on that is, you know, I'm Native American, and I consider myself, you know, I'm very proud of my background.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of Hollywood, which was interesting, even though, you know, my ethnicity is Native American, I wasn't getting a lot of the roles. And my manager about 10 years ago, she's like, you know, I'm not going to put you up for any of these bad guy roles. She's like, you're too nice of a guy. It just wouldn't work. You know, it wouldn't. And she was, you know, very reputable. She was towards the end of her career, and she just prefaced it like that. She's like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things nowadays. But she was she started Benicio del Toro out with his career. And,
mm-hmm.
A few other well-known actors. And so she had a lot of great insight, and I just loved, you know, having lunch with her and, getting her insight. But that was the one thing that she was wrong about. And, once I started going out for these characters, I just, was a good fit, I guess.
That's great. Well, tell me this. When a writer sees how you're acting, as I was reading a little bit about your bio, you seem to indicate in a couple of interviews that I saw on YouTube that you were brought into Breaking Bad, which is actually occurring 10 years after Better Call Saul, but now you're actually in real life 10 years older, so there's some challenges there. But did the writer see you kind of in a minor role, but just see qualities in you that maybe made them develop your character, Victor, develop it more and keep you on the show?
No, I think so. Originally, I read for the role, and you probably heard this on other interviews, but I was reading for the role of a character that was later filled by a wonderful actress here in town, and she did it amazing. When you watch it, you realize why she got the role. But obviously, I think when the writer director or the director, Adam Bernstein, saw that, he looked at it and probably thought, ah, this is definitely, you know, this character is a female. This makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
So sometimes there's character givens and that are very, you know, you just can't get past those character givens, like if it's a female or a male role.
Sure.
But the office, the manager of Los Pueblos Hermanos was kind of, it was left open. So you didn't know if it was a male or a female, and they were seeing both male and female actors.
Mm.
So for this, what was nondescript customer, I have a feeling they always kind of knew that that would become a bigger storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the rest of us probably didn't know. And Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, he's such a genius. And I think the amazing thing about it is that he is such a humble guy, but at the same time, I think he holds ideas back and doesn't really give a lot out to commit to certain things until he really feels like, you know, yeah, now's the time to share it. And, you know, a lot can happen as well. But I do feel like they did develop that line out,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the story around Gus Fring. But I was happy that it was just, I was able to be a part of that. And I mean, obviously if I didn't do a good job in that first episode I was in, they would have probably been like, okay, you know, Gus had other guys, you know? So yeah, it was nice for them to expand the part. And I had no idea that was going to happen. So on my side, I didn't know that.
Well, you must have been doing something right because, they did kill you. Was it season three in Breaking Bad? But then they brought you back for the prequel, right? The Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
so you must have been doing something right.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope I'm still doing it. And back then it was it was interesting because I mean I didn't know even when I was gonna die. Just like pretty much most people on the show, you know, have no idea until you're maybe one or two or three episodes out.
Right.
And they definitely commit to it when, you know, when they're one episode out.
Yeah.
So when I was going into season four, I had no idea. I was looking forward to a whole new season, and here I died in the first episode of season four. So to be brought back in the past with Better Call Saul, it's amazing.
Well, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun and, you know, acting, we all watch it. And I think more people would want to call you Victor than they would Jeremiah. But tell us about yourself. What do you care about in real life? What's really important to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I've always, I think had a faith in terms of, a strong belief in faith. Just I've been through some hard things in high school and throughout my, you know, my young adult life. And, you know, kind of forged me into realizing, hey, I gotta believe in something greater than just myself and my own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I really started putting time into my own prayer life, my own spiritual life, I saw a lot of change just within a short period of time. You know, I mean, I went from wanting to move to LA and pursue acting, and I had all these dreams. And I had no real way to get there. And I knew nothing about starting a business. And so, you know, and then over the course of the summer, I had enough business and enough to take me to California and sustain me through college. So that was huge. It was a huge blessing. And so, point being is I think I'd be foolish to think that, all of these things are just by my own doing.
Yeah.
And I definitely got to say that, you know, it's times like this, life is tough. And, you know, people feel the need and people want something greater for themselves and for their family. And people are spending time and really in a contemplative space right now, you know, being isolated and you know, maybe not as tied in. So I think that's definitely probably the most important thing. And of course, being a father, you know, your priorities, a father and a husband, your whole priorities shift from back when you were, in my case, it was a bachelor for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a brand new, you know, a brand new outlook. You stop caring about so much about what you're wearing, or that you had mustard thrown on your shirt, and you kind of just roll with the punches. But it's refreshing, and it's a new life, and I'm really appreciative for it.
Well,
and
I can
test the work.
Yeah, I can testify. I've got 5 children. They're all grown now. But if you were worried about mustard getting thrown on your shirt, my friend, that new baby is going to throw a lot more than mustard on your shirt.
Yeah, yeah, definitely have. Yeah, our baby girl is 2 years old now, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, that really sounds amazing. Hey, we're going to have one more second with you, Jeremiah. I understand that you're going to be able to stay with us till about 20 till or so. So we'll be right back after we say thank you to some of our sponsors. And Jeremiah Bitsui, he is an actor with the new series Better Call Saul, kind of the prequel, if you will, to Breaking Bad. And we'll be right back right after these messages.
This is Chip Lesko. And as we all adjust to the changes from the current crisis, we are all isolated physically from each other, but we can be more connected spiritually. I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the helpful messages we are presenting on KNKT and Star 88, and share them with friends and family through social media and email. For example, this Wednesday evening, Pastor Skip's midweek message will be called The Quarantined Life, in which he'll discuss the biblical, beneficial, and practical aspects of being quarantined. We'll carry this message live on both stations starting at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And you can share the archive afterwards from calvarynm.church. We all know people who need to know what we know about God's promises. Let's be sure that they do. That address again is calvarynm.church, where you'll find Skip's message about living the quarantined life. I hope you'll share it with friends and with family.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when God called Moses to lead Israel's exodus from Egypt, his response was less than enthusiastic. If you'll remember, Moses attempted to resist God's call by reminding God of all the resources he didn't possess. I don't have the reputation. I don't have the credibility. I can't speak eloquently enough. But God wanted Moses to take inventory with a different perspective. It wasn't about what Moses didn't have. It was about God's ability to use what Moses did have. And when we step up to the task, even a simple shepherd's stick becomes the staff of God. So stop trying to remind God of what you don't have. Trust Him today to take what you do have to fulfill His calling on your life.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, a half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station. Or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Actor, entrepreneur, husband, father, Jeremiah Bitsui, joining us by phone this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Jeremiah is best known for his portrayal of the character Victor in both the series Breaking Bad and now Better Call Saul. And Jeremiah, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We know you got a lot of responsibilities going on, and wanted to ask you about, I understand that you just told us a little bit about your personal faith. I understand that you're actually doing some ministry with your wife, and her name is Allie. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And to be honest, I just want to make sure that on that side, she really leads up that effort, and I'm her co-captain in that sense.
Ah, so Allie's kind of leading the charge there. Tell us about the ministry.
Yeah, so Dream Lab Coffee is really what we thought, you know, living in Albuquerque and realizing that, you know, it's such an eclectic lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of different needs and people with you know, different backgrounds, diverse backgrounds. And, you know, we really feel a heart for the community. And it's amazing sometimes when people just have a coffee and they open up what they could open up about. And that was really the main focus, is to see what we could do by creating a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. with the community and amongst our peer group, who we consider folks that have a lot of heart and care about what they do, mm-hmm. and also the community. And so we've been bringing along folks that are willing to share what they do, the background behind what they do, and then and how they got into it. So, you know, maybe it demystifies being a hedge fund manager, or demystifies being a, let's say, a chemical engineer, or even someone that, you know, let's say a mechanic, like what really happens behind those trades and those jobs. And, you know, it's kind of the reverse work of, you know, you've probably been to a networking event and mm-hmm. everyone shares what they do. When we have these general sessions, folks share what their passion is. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Ali had a wonderful idea behind that, and it was sharing your name and then your passion. So what you're passionate about. And it's interesting because people may be passionate about music, but, you know, they may be working in a more technical field. Mm-hmm. And so more than anything, I think what we do all together is as a trade or as in our daily job is so much of about it's our life. Mm-hmm. But our hopes are kind of open, using that as a dialogue to kind of create further conversation.
That's
and
nice.
Ideally, you know, beyond passion, opening hearts where you could really have a chance to connect and in a way grow through these engagements that we've put together.
Well, and it's a tough time now for us to sit down with folks and have coffee, but I'm sure that's going to return pretty quickly as soon as we get a handle on this COVID virus. And it is a scary time, but I know what you do is entertain people, and there is one other area where you're entertaining people. And, you know, parents might yell at me a little bit because you're also, I think, a bad guy on the video game Red Dead Redemption. Tell us about that character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So this was an interesting project. It was my first motion capture. So capturing your voice, capturing everything, and then we worked on it for almost 3 years and not able to talk about it under extreme non-disclosure. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when the game came out, we went public with it. So, quite a unique experience, something like I'd never imagined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first started the project, I was in Los Angeles, so I'd be flying over there and then flying back. And then, you know, it was pretty intense, but the overall process was really fun. Just picture yourself kind of playing make believe, but with a motion capture suit, which is they put all of these little monitors on your body and they, you know, capture whatever directive you're given. So it was a ton of fun. Probably the closest thing I've ever done to stage. Mm-hmm. I've never done very much stage acting, so mm-hmm. that was pretty fun.
Yeah, sounds like a blast. Let me ask you one other question about being an actor, and then I want to really ask you about Native American communities, because I know you do quite a bit of public speaking and those kind of things. As an actor, is it easy to get into character and then go back into real life? I guess I'm envisioning you getting your throat cut in Breaking Bad, as you mentioned, the beginning of season 4. And then you leave work and go pick up some groceries on the way home. That seems like it's paradoxical to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time, I get what you're saying. I think it really depends on how you take it in your own process. Everyone's process is to each their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I'm not a method actor, and you know, I my focus in my discipline is more based on the technical. So mm-hmm. for me personally, like I don't go into some space like thinking, you know, that I'd maybe going through the process of being killed. Mm. Mentally, nothing like that. Like for me, I think it's, I may be doing my grocery list in between scenes more like it.
Oh, I see.
Just because it is a real, it's a taxing job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in that one particular scene, you know, we did my death, my physical death, probably over maybe 40 times that day, different outfits and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the very end, that year, I think I died 4 times. So as you could imagine, like, you know, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, that could be very hard on you.
Sure.
If you're taking that serious and really trying to commit your heart into that in terms of the way it plays out. So that's my thought, you know, is just is really kind of protecting your spirit, protecting your heart and your emotions.
Sure.
That comes first, and then, you know, I build the character in after that.
Neat. I really appreciate that input. Let me talk to you now about the Native American communities. I've had a little bit of experience in New Mexico because I'm a former basketball player at the University of New Mexico, and I spent a lot of time in the last 30 years since I played. Actually, I should say it's closer to 40. Going on to a lot of the reservation properties, a lot of the high schools that were largely Native American. And I have to say very proudly that the Native American community, in addition into being amazing runners athletically, has adopted basketball as kind of like their national pastime. And I'm proud of that because I had a little bit of encouragement with a lot of folks. But tell us how the Native American communities are doing now in the midst of this COVID virus.
I would say, you know, that they're in a very tough situation back on the res because, already the hospital systems aren't as good as they are in, in general, metropolitan areas.
Right.
And then you put just general communication and knowledge to the community. You know, here we're plugged in and we have the internet, we have TV and radio. You know, you may have only a radio source, mm-hmm. and getting the word out there, I think is a very tough thing for any remote living, you know, mm-hmm. including just people that live rural here in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's definitely a big concern from that side.
Well, I can tell you, we had a chance to visit with Fafilia Nez, who was the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, and her husband, Jonathan. They're both really strong Christian people. And they have really, they've done a lot to encourage the Native American community in general, and especially the Navajo Nation. And we appreciate you spending time today. It's kind of a release from worrying about things, and want to encourage everybody to take a look at some of these shows. You can look at Better Call Saul. I think that's part of Netflix. Breaking Bad is part of Netflix, and Better Call Saul is on weekly. I think you're nearing the end of the season. So, Jeremiah, we'll keep our eyes open for you and hope you join us again on the program.
Yeah, AMC every Monday. And I also have a web series that I started called Breaking Dad, and that's www.breakingdad.tv. So breakingdad.tv.
Outstanding. Hey, thanks so much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.